It's time for What's Up with Green Party co-leader Marama Davidson.
Morena Marama, how are you this morning?
Morena Rachel, I'm really good. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's great to have you on. We've got some big topics to discuss today. We are going to talk a little bit about the government's announcement around visa exemptions. We're also going to talk as well about Rocket Lab and some concerns the Green Party has about what's going on there. But I do want to start with obviously the big topic of the moment, which is COVID, Tāmaki Makaurau, and the roadmap that the government has announced. Now, you have particularly, and the Green Party, expressed some concerns with the roadmap as it stands. What's your main, fear at the moment about where we're moving with the COVID response?
Well, there are still communities and groups of people who are still at risk. That's my main concern, and that's why we know that the elimination strategy is the approach that we would have preferred to see to keep going. And, you know, as we've seen just in the last, since Wednesday, since the restrictions were lifted a notch, our cases continue to rise and we've now got modellers predicting a surge. That is going to be felt more by some groups and communities. And so it's going to impact on people very differently. That is why we were very clear that we would have liked to have seen elimination remain the approach, you know, and we would like to, and that's what we've always called for from the start, is for people to be supported and confident that they can get through elimination comfortably, and whether that's making sure that people have got affordable housing and access to things that they need to stay well and stay home, food security, income for essential needs and healthcare. And that would have been an inspiring extension of what our government could have led, give some people some certainty, some assistance, and be very clear we are going to stick with an elimination strategy while we also urgently get our vaccination rates up, especially among Māori and Pasifika, whose rates are still not up to what I would like.
Now that we are moving into this new phase, though, what would you like to see, or what are the Greens calling for to protect those more vulnerable communities, or those communities that do currently have lower vaccination rates? What are you pushing for at this point?
Yeah, so what we've always pushed for, which is to properly, fully resource and empower and authorise Māori and Pacific, and basically community-led, grassroots-led vaccination programs, making sure that communities and providers have everything that they need to be able to have those conversations and discussions, to organise the community leaders who can help, who are trusted voices and respected voices by their own neighbourhoods, to be able to help do this painstaking work, essential public health work, to get our vaccination rates up, to be able to innovate and design what would work for different communities. In about an hour or so, I'm off to Randwick Park, just around the corner from me. The neighbourhood has literally designed their own vaccination drive yesterday and today. They just got together as a small community, but a very poorly served community with a very low vaccination rate. And they've got the Manawe on the Rai and the shot bus coming to their community. They've organised sponsored prizes, different sort of community voices to help encourage people, you know, and this is the resourcing and the partnering we need to see around the country.
Do you think we're starting to see a little bit more of that at the moment, or is there still room for ramping up?
There's still absolutely room for ramping up. We are starting to see a little bit more. And, you know, a lot of that has been driven by the same sort of urgent concern that I have, which is, okay, we're lifting restrictions. Things could get a lot worse for particular communities, for people with health conditions, for young Māori, who happen to be one of the least vaccinated, least protected groups of the population, and who are just basically saying, well, we've no mucking around now, we've really got to get things sorted. And at the same time, we have always pushed for example, more support for workers so that they don't have to use their own annual leave if they need to isolate, get a test or have time off to get vaccinated, etc. Making sure that it's another topic that I think we're going to pick up today, that people have got security of housing as much as possible. It's good to see rent evictions paused for level four. We would have liked to have seen that sooner, and we would have liked to have seen that extend to level three as well. You know, so there's a whole lot of supports alongside lockdowns that we've always pushed for as well.
With the change in mindset, it's been a lot for people to grasp in the last week, moving from a strictly elimination to a more suppression-based strategy. What do you think we need to start talking about? Because this is a big shift, and it's quite rightly, you know, people are feeling a bit afraid at the moment, and there is a lot of anger around due to the uncertainty of these changing times. What do you think are some of the conversations we need to start having so that people feel best equipped for when we are moving into a space where we are, not to use that awful phrase, living with the virus, but working in spaces and functioning in spaces where there is some virus in the community? What do you think are some of the key conversations we need to be having in society at the moment to prepare ourselves for that?
Yeah, it is whānau preparation, basically. There have been some fabulous support guidelines from actually Māori organisations, Māori providers, Pacifica providers. Our grassroots community providers understand the sort of support that families need to be able to sit down and say, okay, things are changing now. What do we need? What can we do for our households, for our broader community, sort of whānau, extended whānau connections, to make sure that we are prepared for this uncertainty as much as we can control, whether that is making sure that we've got our medication sorted, making sure that we've got our needs for the most vulnerable, our babies and our elders, sorted, and what we are building up and storing within, to be sustainable, to be self-sustainable for some length of time, sort of like the emergency preparation, I guess, kits that we have, and we need to be supporting people to be able to do that. What are the care plans for families if someone gets sick and has to leave? What are the care plans for children, for pets? There are fantastic guidelines around to help people sit down and have those conversations, as well as being really, really strong around the safety precautions that we still need to follow, the masks, the social distancing, the hand sanitising, hand washing, but with a very sort of aroha-driven value of this is about protecting ourselves and each other and helping to stop the spread as much as we possibly can, and that's an act of for ourselves and for our collective community. And I think, you know, that's where our focus needs to be.
We are good as a country at dealing with natural disasters, and we're good at getting our earthquake kits and such. So maybe it's something we need to start thinking about when it comes to pandemic preparation as well. I wanted to talk a little bit about some non-COVID related things, because there are other things going on in the world. One thing that the Green Party's been quite vocal about for a long time, but ramping up at the moment, is concern around the Rocket Lab space launches. And at the moment, there's a particular concern that it could be breaching nuclear-free laws. Can you explain why you are worried about that?
Yeah, we've been really concerned, you're right, for a long time. I really want to acknowledge my colleague, Fiona Tuigan, who's kept on this since he came into Parliament at government a year ago. And the space launches by Rocket Lab may be breaching our long-standing nuclear-free position and the decision which we're really proud of, you know. And I guess part of that is because of the lack of clarity around non-proliferation. And so there are a few things that we're concerned about there. Unfortunately, our outer space legislation has so many gaps and grey areas that foreign military powers are literally launching rockets through it, while the government turns a blind eye to concerns from its own advisers. And so what is happening is, you know, we need to make sure that technologies that are sent into orbit from Aotearoa soil do not assist other countries' armies to wage war. And we haven't been able to confirm that, and the government needs to explain why it has not implemented that advice from its own advisory group.
So what is the Green Party calling for at the moment? What actions would you like to see?
Yeah, so that's about taking the advisory group's sort of guidance and recommendations about absolutely reviewing what exactly we are launching in partnership with whom and for what purpose. And those, you know, the advisory group, and as far as we can see, has been ignored. And we can, it's also about making sure that we are upholding our independent foreign policy approach, you know, which we cannot compromise in the name of economic development. And we'd also like to see Mana Whenua playing a much stronger role in the technical review of the outer space legislation, that's the review that the advisory group have been pushing for. And because the payloads are being launched from Mahia Whenua, mm-hmm. where Mana Whenua have been denied that sort of decision-making access. So that with all those gaps, we want that review, we want Mana Whenua to have a key role in what happens from Mahia Whenua in particular, and, you know, affirming our nuclear free stance. And Te Anau Tū Iono has amended bill in the ballot that would prohibit the launch of all military hardware from Aotearoa.
Well, just briefly before we let you go, Marama, I did want to touch base on another thing that the Green Party has been calling for, which is to do with the one-off extension for residence visas that we've seen announced from the government, which is a much welcomed first step. But you're calling for, as a party, you're calling for that to include working holiday and seasonal workers as well. Why particularly those groups?
Oh, because they're struggling through these COVID restrictions and the pandemic, the global pandemic, in a very acute way. And here in Aotearoa, it's just creating misery, lack of certainty, massive emotional stress for themselves and their families and friends. So we'd like to see them included. I'm so proud of Ricardo Menendez March, who had been deeply working with parliamentary colleagues and fighting for this. Again, since he came in, he's also made it. And, you know, so this announcement was absolutely welcome and will make a massive difference for the dignity of, you know, too many migrants who have been dealing with this uncertainty. But, for example, there's still work to be done. And so moving there are quite ableist health requirements currently that prevent disabled people from obtaining residency. We've seen a few of those quite tragic, high-profile cases. Mm-hmm. And so we need to set up urgently a planning group and a planning for the residency program and properly resource Immigration New Zealand to stop these sort of visa processing backlogs that we're seeing the acute harm that is causing.
Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Marama Davidson. It's always great to have you on the show. Enjoy the vaccination drive later today, and we will talk to you in a few weeks' time.
Really appreciate your time, Rachel. Thank you so much. Have a good rest of the week.
Kia ora. See you later.
That was What's Up with Green Party co-leader Marama Davidson.
Thank you.